Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was a bit of an anomaly. Everyone was used to the formalized religious practices of the nation of Israel. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and a whole bunch of different religious groups had their followers and their devotees, and everything was centered around the temple in Jerusalem. Then along comes John. He is the son of a priest and one of the daughters of Aaron. So he is from a priestly family. But he is a relative of Mary, and therefore he has a connection, a family connection to Jesus. John begins to preach, but he doesn't go into the city of Jerusalem to preach. He doesn't go into any of the other centers to preach. He goes out into the wilderness to preach, and people have to come out to hear him, and they come. And they come in droves. The people of Israel haven't seen anything like this in a long time. Someone was attracting huge crowds. And he was practicing what he called a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John was exceedingly popular. He was a phenomenon. So it's not surprising that the powers that be in Jerusalem are not at all happy with this situation. Why? Because John is taking attention away from them. He is taking attention away from the things that they are promoting, and he is calling people. He is calling God's holy people to repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John is preaching and baptizing, telling people that the Messiah is coming and that we must prepare for him by repenting of our sins so that we may be ready to receive him when he comes with his blessings. Now, this annoyed the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they hated it when anybody made it seem like they needed to repent of anything. You know, and there are people like that today. They don't ever want to be called to repentance. They don't ever want to be told that they are sinners and they need to be saved from their sins by redemption. Oh, they love to hear it if you tell them that if they do something, go on some pilgrimage, donate some money, get busy attaching yourself to some kind of YouTube star. Well, wait a minute. I'm kind of a YouTube star. How many subscribers do we have now? 40? I'm getting there. All right. Anyway, I digress. There are people who do not want to think of themselves as sinners. They take offense at anyone who implies it, and they strenuously restrain themselves from following any such person. But the Bible is very clear. that we are conceived and born in sin, and that if we do not have a Redeemer who redeems us from sin, from death, and from the devil, we will be forever lost. And so John has annoyed the powers that be. They send a delegation and they ask him the question, "Who are you?" And the implication is that because John is so outstanding of a personage, and because he eats weird food, he eats locusts and wild honey, and he dresses weird, he has clothing of rough camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. So the people in Jerusalem, the leaders, are like, he must think he is something. He must think that he's someone that needs to be paid attention to. So when they come and they ask him this question, "Who are you?" they are really implying, are you another one of these people who thinks he's the Messiah? So John gives an answer. And St. John the Evangelist, he wants us to understand that John was not denying that he was the Messiah. He was confessing that he was not the Messiah. You see, everything that John is saying here is a confession of faith in Christ the Lord. And so St. John the Evangelist says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." So he is saying, no, I am not the Christ. Now he's going to say more about this, but he is emphatic about this. I do not claim to be the Christ. Well, they're very quick. And they say, okay, are you Elijah then? You see, the Jews had a legend. And their legend was that before the Messiah comes, Elijah the prophet would literally come back from heaven, and the literal Elijah the prophet would tell people to get ready for the Messiah. So this legend of the coming back of Elijah was very big among the people of Israel, but John disavows it. They ask him, "Are you Elijah?" And he says, "No, I am not." Now, we learn from the angel Gabriel. When Gabriel came to John the Baptist's father to announce the birth of John, he said, the angel Gabriel said that John would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Not that he would be a kind of a resurrection of the literal Elijah the prophet, but that he would be a prophet in the spirit and power of Elijah. And this is what Jesus confessed about John. Jesus says, it is true that Elijah must come first. But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him whatsoever they have pleased. He's speaking about John the Baptist, who was put to death for confessing the word of God and for confessing the coming of Christ. And so Jesus speaks of John as the Elijah who was to come, but not a literal coming of the physical prophet Elijah, right? but someone who comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. So what John is saying to these officials when they ask him, "Are you Elijah?" and he says, "No," he says, "I want nothing to do with your legends and your mythologies." Right? "I am not the fulfillment of your wishes." So they say, "Art thou that prophet?" And they're referring to in Deuteronomy 18, where God tells Moses that he will raise up a prophet like him among the people. And of course, it's a messianic prophecy speaking about the coming of Christ, who is the prophet supreme. And so John says, "No." So John has now swept aside all of the things by which the rulers from Jerusalem sought to kind of get at him, get a handle on him, and maybe co-opt him for their own purposes. You know, politicians are always politicians. And whenever they give their approval to you, it's because they want something from you. And so it is here. They want to control John. They want to use him for their purposes. And at each point in their interrogation, John says, "No, no, no." They are frustrated. And so they ask him, they say, "We need to go home and give an answer to the people who sent us. Who do you make yourself out to be?" All right, that's what they're saying to you. "Who do you say that you are? What do you say of yourself? We gotta give an answer to those who sent us." And John said, "All right, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Right, so what John says, all right, if you really want to know who I am the forerunner of the Messiah. I am the one come to prepare the way for the coming of Messiah. I am the fulfillment of that promise in Isaiah the prophet and also in Malachi chapters 3 and 4 of the forerunner who comes to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the Messiah. So my presence is a harbinger and a forerunner of the coming of Christ himself. So, he gives them a straight answer. And it is a fascinating answer. It should have set them on their heels. But because their hearts are hard, because they consider themselves to be always in the right, they consider themselves to be always among the holy ones who deserve special consideration from God, John's answer to them only annoyed them. It frustrated them even more. And they got angry with John. And they started picking on him. Right? You know, he gives them an answer that should have rocked them. Holy mackerel. The Messiah must be just around the corner. No such thought enters their mind. They are utterly like, "Oh man, what kind of an answer is that?" And so they start picking on him. "Oh, so you're not the Messiah. You're not Elijah. You're not that prophet. We ask you who you are, and you quote Isaiah to us, some obscure passage in the book of Isaiah. What does that mean? So, because they are annoyed, because they are in opposition to him, they begin to ask him, "All right then, since you're not the Messiah, since you're not Elijah, and since you're not that prophet, what are you doing baptizing people for? By what authority do you dare to perform ritual activities such as purification rites? Who do you think you are to be going around doing unauthorized baptisms?" You see? What they're doing now is they are negating him. They are negating him and his mission by claiming that he is doing unauthorized baptisms. Where is your Master of Divinity degree? Where is your synodical certification? I don't see anything. You claim to be something important, but you're just a nobody, and you're performing illicit baptisms. And John answers them by zeroing them in right on Christ. He says, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you." He is already here. He stands among you, and you know him not. You don't know who he is, and yet he is here, and he is about to be manifested. And my baptism is a preparatory act that will find its fulfillment and its realization when he manifests himself. And so, there stands one among you. He's already here. You don't know him. He it is. He comes after me, but he is preferred before me. John is saying that the one who is coming is not just a great human leader. He is the Son of God, the incarnate Son of God is coming. He is about to be manifest, and he is preferred before me. I am not worthy to take his shoes off. And what John is saying is, I'm not worthy to perform the functions of a slave in comparison to him. So John testifies that the Christ, the Son of God, the incarnate one, is going to be manifested very soon, and that his presence, his very presence and his activity, shows that this is about to take place. But because these Pharisees from Jerusalem are hardened in their hearts by their own sense of personal worthiness and their own despising of any call to repentance and faith, as if they needed that kind of stuff, because they were righteous before God by their works and their obedience to the law, John is saying to them, he is coming, but you don't even know him. You are scholars of the Bible, but you haven't put two and two together. I have just told you something thunderous when I said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That should have set you back and got you thinking, but all it did was make you angry. Because you don't understand it. Your minds are blinded by a deception. Your minds are blinded by unbelief. and you can't see what's happening right before your very eyes. Now, in our gospel lesson today, this gospel lesson comes right after where St. John the Evangelist says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." So John confessed that Jesus, the Messiah, is the incarnate Son of God. He was before me. And then after our lesson, John sees Jesus and he points to him for his disciples and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I spake when I said, he that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And then John says, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining, the same is he that baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw," John said, "and I bear record, this is the Son of God." And so on this fourth Sunday in Advent, we attend to this beautiful confession of John. He will not be co-opted by the hard heart of unbelief. He will not be manipulated into being what he is not. He confesses Christ. He laser points to the coming one and calls us all to put our trust where our trust ought to be, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.